Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I tell you what, every time you hear a message on contentment, that really, really, really gets down where you live. Contentment with what you have, but contentment with your state. Everything's peachy, I'm content. And boy, I tell you what, Brother Step, that was a good message. It really gets down, well, where we all need to be. Be thankful. 1 John chapter 1, our focus tonight is going to be in verses 6 through 10. If you don't mind, let's stand and show respect to reading the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 1, let's go ahead and begin at verse 4. Let me move up a little bit farther. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we go into the message tonight, Lord, we pray that You'd help me, Lord, to be able to make the message known as it should be made known. Father, we pray that You'd help us be more content in our lives, satisfied, Father, with the things that You've given us, and Lord, in the path that You've chose for us. And Father, we pray that perhaps through this message, someone will be brought closer to You. And we also pray in this message, if anyone here tonight is unsaved, that perhaps through this message, someone will be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to give this just a simple title. And we're just going to title the message this evening, Fullness of Joy. Fullness of Joy. You'll notice back at verse 4, it says that your joy may be full. Now, of course, the key to fullness with joy is fellowship with God.
Amen.
Now, you'll notice several places in this text where it mentions fellowship. If you look at verse 3, you see the word fellowship mentioned in verse 3. If you look down into verse 6, you see the word fellowship with Him in verse 6. And then you see the word fellowship with one another in verse 7. Would you agree with me tonight that the key to fullness with joy is fellowship with the Lord? That's the key to it. Now, I want you to understand, there is no question on His part that He wants to have fellowship with His child. Do you all agree with me with regard to that? I mean, one of the most important things in the world with my, I got two boys, and you know what I desire from them more than anything? I don't want them to buy, well, it's all right if they buy me something. But what I want more from my boys than anything else, you know what I want? I want their time.
Right. Amen.
I love for them to come down and sit and visit me and talk to me and go out and do things. Isn't that what we want really more than anything else? Well, I'll tell you something else. That's what the Father wants from us. He wants our time. And if we're going to have fellowship with Him, it involves choosing to spend time with your God. Now, verse 3, 6, and 7 mentions much about fellowship. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three keys to fellowship that are given in this text. Three keys to fellowship that is given in this text. Now, I entitled it Fullness of Joy. And the reason why I did that is because fullness of joy is always associated with a close fellowship with the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're born again, the closer you are to Jesus, the more joy you'll have. And the farther you drift away from Jesus, if you're born again, the more miserable, discontented, and unhappy, you'll become. Three keys to joy in this text. Let me give them to you at the beginning. That way, again, if I mess it up, you'll have the outline. You can work it anyhow. Key number one, you must not walk in darkness. You can't have fellowship with the Lord and at the same time walk in darkness. It's just an impossibility. Number two, you must not walk in darkness, but you also must not, you must walk in the light. That's number two. And then number three, to have a close fellowship with the Lord, you must also confess your sins. Let me give them to you again. You must not walk in darkness. You must walk in the light. And then number three, you must confess your sins. Those are keys. Three keys to fellowship with the Lord. Let's go ahead and look at the first one. The first one's given in verse 6. It says, If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. I mean, that's just about First John is blunt. And I'll be honest with you, I like blunt. Because sometimes that's exactly what it takes for people to get the message across to folks. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, what does it say again? We lie. Well, Ephesians 5 and the verse 8 says, we were sometimes darkness. We were sometimes darkness. But now are we the light of the Lord.
Amen.
Walk as a child of light. Right. And you know what the Lord did, and we know this, and we'll probably meet this verse again here later. We were in darkness, but now we're the light of the Lord, and now we are to walk as a child of light. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it stresses that truth. And if you're going to walk with Him, then you're going to have to walk in the light. He called us out of darkness. Whenever He brought about our new birth, we were in darkness. We were in blindness. And He called us out of that. And now that we're in the light, what's He wants us to do? We're to have a walk with the Lord in the light. We're to walk with Him. So very important. Now, one of the things let's go to Matthew chapter 5. One of the things we realize our nation is in a state of decay. We realize that. I mean, I get sick. I really do get sick of it. You see it so much. I mean, the things that are tolerated and the things that are allowed and the things that they do, it just really, it breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Right.
Well, one of the reasons why this is happening is when you look at the book of Matthew chapter 5, that's evidence that God's people has lost their influence. I mean, at one time, God's people had a great influence in this land. God's people had a good name. Those that professed the name lived a life. I mean, if you claimed to be a Christian, then people could look at your life and you really didn't have to tell them, or they didn't have to tell you there's a Christian. They could tell it in you. By the way you talked, by the places you went to, by the way you conducted yourself, and by the way that you lived. They could tell those kinds of things. But let me tell you something. It isn't like that no more. God's people today do, say, and allow more than they ever have. And as the standards of God's people have dropped, as the nation's standards has dropped, God's people's standard have dropped right along with it. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith should it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under men. Well, if the meat's getting rotten, what's that a sign of? The salt has lost its saltiness. If you look at our nation, do you think our nation's in decay? Is there anyone here tonight that don't think our nation's in decay? It is in decay. What's the cause of it? Well, one cause of it is because God's people has lost their testimony.
Right.
They've lost their influence. Got the same nasty habits. Many of them have the same nasty habits. Watch the same nasty shows. Watch the same nasty shows. Do the same nasty things. Then they strut off to church and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Well, folks, the world sees those kinds of things.
Right. Right.
You know, I've noticed, I remember I worked on a job one time. I've told you, I think, about this before. But on one of the jobs I worked, there's two men, that were me and another man that professed to be saved. And I tried to witness to all the boys on the job. I always made that my goal, everywhere I worked at, to try to present the gospel to everyone there. I prayed for that and in many different kinds of ways tried to witness that to as many people as I can. Well, there was only two of us. Well, the other boy was a little bit different. When they went out to drink at lunchtime, some of them did. They went out to party a little bit, then come back to work. He went out and partied with them. When they told her dirty jokes, he told them right along with them. I mean, he didn't have any impact on anybody whatsoever. One day I was witnessing to one of the boys there. We was back and I was talking to him about Jesus and actually got him to come to church for a while. But I was witnessing to him. Here come this boy over there. And he's standing with me and he started chiming in and he said, "Hold it there a minute." The boy I was witnessing said, "Hold it there a minute, Jeff." And he looked at this guy and he said, "Who do you think you are? Who are you to say anything to me? You do the same things I do." Then he said, "Why don't you shut your mouth," he said, "and get out of here." He didn't have no respect for him. Why is that, folks? He lived the same life that he did. He didn't walk as a child of light. You can't walk in darkness and expect to have fellowship with the Lord, and you can't walk in darkness and expect to be able to witness to other people either.
Right.
And that's what, let me tell you what, that's what's wrong in this nation. There's a lot of things wrong, but as the standards has dropped, the grade of Christian has changed right or wrong with it.
Right.
So the influence, that salty preservative effect, it's not there no more. Well,
amen.
That's why we need to be revived.
Amen.
2 Timothy, let me give you some text that goes along with this. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Let everyone who names the name of Christ live in sin." Is that what it says? The foundation of God standeth sure. Let everyone that names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Now, we realize we're not going to be sinless. But I'm going to tell you what. When you're born again, you're going to be changed. And people should see that in you. I mean, it's a witness on a job. It's a witness on a job. You young people, when you go to this, boy, I tell you what, we need young people to live it in the school. It's easy to live it in the church.
Right.
But man, when you go off to school and you see young men, young women, and they don't use the same language, they behave in their classes, that's a testimony. That's a witness. And that's what I'm talking about. You can't have fellowship with the Lord and at the same time, you can't be close to Jesus and at the same time walk in darkness. Let's turn to Psalms 101. We will turn to that one. What's the message entitled? Fullness of joy. To have fullness of joy, you can't walk in. You got to have fellowship with the Lord, and you can't have fellowship with the Lord and walk in darkness. Isn't that the key to joy? Is fellowship with God? You know, my happiest times on earth is fellowshipping with the Lord. Is it yours? Brother Hank, I like to There's a holler down there where I live at. It used to be an old coal mine out, and it's about 3 miles up and back. I'm hyper. I can't sit still hardly and pray, brother. I mean, my mind just moves. I've come prayed so much better walking. It's good for your health, too. And I walk out that holler, and I talk to the Lord. And I pray, and I cast my burdens. And I make requests, and I carry a piece of paper, and pray for different ones that are lost. And that makes you close. That's how you get close to the Lord. And that's how you spend time with the Lord. And He'll spend just as much time with you as you want.
Right.
You make the decision how you spend your time. So like I said, there's no question on His part that He wants to spend time with you. This is about fellowshipping with God. And why do we need fellowship? That's the key to joy. Folks, I've seen people on a deathbed that were happy. Have you? Have you ever seen anybody that was dying and knew they was getting ready to depart to go on to be with Christ? And they had a fullness of joy. Have you ever seen it? Well, I have. Brother Glenn back there, his wife, she had cancer and she was dying. And I talked to her a few days before that, and she said, "Jeff, I know where I'm going." And she said, "I'm not afraid to go. I just wonder how that transition's going to be." That's what she said. That's what she. "I just wonder how the transition's going to be whenever the time comes." Man, her lungs and things were shot. She was so very weak. And we just kind of gathered around her, you know. And Brother Glenn was holding on to. He was around behind her, rubbing her shoulders and things. She didn't have much air left, brother, I tell you, did she? And she hollered for my wife. She called. She liked my wife better than me. That hurt my feelings. But she liked my wife. She did. And she got a hold of my wife, and she pulled her down in her face, and she said, "Tired." And then she said, "Home." And then she said, "Glory." And she put the prettiest, biggest smile that you've ever seen in your life. And then she raised back her head and she sung two stanzas of Amazing Grace. And sung that song, "What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see." And her whole family was there. And I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody there was in shock. We know we was beholden something was way different. We know the Lord was there. So, what a glorious thing. She had joy even on a deathbed. Her biggest worry was that bearded man on the second pew. That was who her worry was. She said, "Jim, I'll never see him again." That's not true. It wasn't a couple days after that I went down. He came on my heart so bad I just couldn't stand it. You ever have the Lord bring somebody in your heart? You just had him on your mind and you just felt like you had to go see. I didn't hear no verbal voices. I just felt impressed to go. Load open that door. Got ready to get out of the truck. Brother Lynn, he met me right at the door. And the Lord saved him that day. So, you'll see her again and she'll see him again. Isn't that a glorious thing? That's salvation right there. That's fellowship. That's what it says here in Psalms 101. To have fellowship with the Lord, you can't walk in what? You can't walk in darkness. You ain't going to have fellowship with Him and live that way. Mm-mm. That's what it says in verse 3. It says, "I will set..." Let me go ahead and get verse 1. "I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt Thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." I want you to know something like, folks, what you are within the house is what you are.
Right.
I don't want to be something different outside the house than I am in the pulpit. I want to be the same everywhere that you see me. For me to be walk differently in the house than I do out in the world is what I call hypocrisy. One of the things that if we're going to have fullness of joy, and if we're going to have a close walk with Jesus, then we can't walk in darkness. And that includes how we walk in the house.
Right.
We got to be true wherever we're at. So he says in verse 3, I want everybody to look at verse 3. The brother talked about computers and television. Man, the Lord, I'm not the... the devil's able to reach right into your house now and corrupt you. He's able to reach right through there and correct. It's ready available. It's ready available. Our computer's a good thing. We use that. We have a big computer ministry. I mean, it depends on how you use it. But there's a great danger there, too, that you got to have checks and balances for. It says, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Man, that's going to limit what you watch, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, that's a good thing to have on your computer screen, and that's a good thing to have on your television, because if you watch nothing but junk, then it's going to have an influence on your fellowship with the Lord.
Right.
And if you lose your fellowship with the Lord because you're walking in darkness, you're not going to have a full joy.
Right.
You're not going to be happy in this life as long as you're that way. You know, King David, what did he say in Psalms 51? He began to walk in darkness, didn't he? This was a man that I always figured if it happened to David. We get too arrogant. I always kind of figured if it happened to David, it could happen to Jeff.
Right.
So we got to have safeguards on a lot of things. He fell into some pretty gross sin, didn't he? He drifted for a good while, at least 9 months. The man after God's own heart fell hard. Do you think he was happy during that time? What was his prayer in Psalms 51? Lord, restore unto me the joy.
Right.
See, the message is about fellowship. I mean, we're in the light. He called us out of darkness to in the light. Now we're to... no more walk in darkness. And if we're going to have fellowship with the Lord, that's one of the keys, because the moment we start walking in darkness, you'll lose your fellowship with God, and the result of that is you'll lose your what again? You won't be happy. Really, it's a good thing, because if you can be happy in sin, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. So, key number one to fellowship is you can't walk in darkness. And of course, we have to have the Lord's help for that, don't we? Master, keep me. Do you ever pray for the Lord to keep you from sin? Do you also make it a habit of asking the Lord to keep your mind from sin? Do you confess sins of your mind? You know, sins of your mind will eventually be a sin of the act if you're not careful. These are all important. For what again? For fellowship. Let's go back to our text. Let's go back to our text. The 1 John chapter 1. Let me ask you a question. How is your fellowship with God? Are you and God close? You know, one of the men that I envy in the Scripture is Enoch, or Enoch, ever how you want to say it. He's one of my heroes. He don't have a lot of verses in the Bible, but you know what the Bible says about him? It says that he walked with God. Y'all think that's a good testimony? Well, you can't walk with God and walk in darkness. Got to be a clear-cut difference in how you live after that you're born again. Key number two. And let's look at verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light, let me get my right verse, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. See, there's our word. That's what we're talking about tonight, is fellowship. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. What's the key to joy after you're born again, folks? Fellowship with God. What's the key to having fellowship with God? You can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. You must walk in the light. That's so important that we do that. If we walk in the light, as He's in the light, then we have fellowship one with the other. What's the old hymn? He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His. And that's all just speaking of fellowship. Closer to fellowship, the greater the joy. Fullness of joy is what this message is all about. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk." That's your manner of living. Walk as a child of light. And like I said in the beginning part of the message, there's a lot of professing Christians in the United States. When they get to give you the number count, it's amazing how many they are. But Christians that actually have an influence and people that actually live the life, man, that brings that number way down. Look at Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, and to every good work a reprobate." You must walk in the light. Now look how this is. Now look at 1 John. It shows us how to have fullness of joy. But the book of 1 John, what it does is it's written so that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And when you look at 1 John chapter 5, that's the purpose of it. And then what it does in 1 John, it gives you all the evidences. All the evidences that someone shows when they've had a new birth. And what I want you to do is notice how much it stresses a changed life. Notice what it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. "If ye know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Born of Him." Doeth righteousness means practices righteousness. Notice chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. This is a great text to preach from too. I almost preached from this tonight. It says in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now look at verse 3. "And everyone that has this hope," how they live? They purify themselves. So here you have a text back in chapter 2 that mentions doing righteousness. Then in chapter 3 and verse 3, it says they seek to purify themselves. Now I could preach this in a lot of places and say, "Oh, he's preaching works for salvation." No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I am preaching that when the new birth happens in a person's life, old things does pass away and all things does become new. And that there'll be a change in a person whenever they're born again. And I want you to know something. I told you this probably the first night. I get excited when people make professions of faith. I get more excited 3 months later when I see them change and continuing to serve the Lord. Because there's a lot of people that profess it. But brother, they don't live it. And many of them attend Baptist churches too. And that's a shame. And that's why people say, "Well, that's why Baptists, they believe you sin all you want to." I do sin all I want to. It's just my wonder's been changed. Kills me. I'm not trying to stand up here and act like I'm without sin. When you're close to the Lord, you realize you do sin. I sin way more than I want to. I hate how I think sometimes. Do you? I hate how I think sometimes. I always watch my motives. I want to do things to please the Lord. I don't want to do something for a show or a put on or to draw attention to myself. I want to do it for the right. I want to serve the Lord, brother, but I want to do it for the right reason. You see what I mean? All of these things are part of walking in the what? Walking in the light. 1 John chapter 4. All across through here it stresses these things. 1 John chapter 4, notice what it says. Let's look at verse 20. No, I'm sorry, let's look at chapter 3. That's what I was after. Just missed the chapter a little bit. Chapter 3, notice what it says. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See how it stresses it? It's a stress over and over again. We seek to do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave His commandment. Now watch this, verse 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in God. And herewith by we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He giveth to us. You get the gist of it, don't you? Over and over again, in the book of 1 John, it stresses the importance of practical righteousness after that you're saved. You're going to have a close fellowship with the Lord. You can't walk in darkness and expect to be close to Jesus. He called you out of darkness. Number two, if you're going to be close to the Lord, you've got to walk in the light. You've got to walk in the light. Turn to Psalm 63. Let me give you this too. Psalm 63. The new birth gives you a spiritual taste. There's a taste for spiritual things you have when you're born again. Can you remember not liking church? Can you remember not liking reading your Bible? Can you remember not liking to be around Christians? I can remember that. Man, I didn't like to be around Christians. They bored me to death. I didn't want to hear what they had to say. But that all changed whenever you had a new birth. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. Notice what this said. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. If you're walking in the light, I want you to hear this. I want you to get this morning. If you're walking in the light, you're going to have a thirst for God. And Brother Hank, the world won't quench that thirst. Do you have a spiritual thirst tonight? You know why I like to go to church? I'm thirsty. I like to go and hear a message from His Word. I love to preach the Word, but I love hearing preachers. I like to sit in the Sunday school class and listen to the Bible class teacher teach. I have a thirst for spiritual things. That'll drive you to church. That'll put you in the book. And the reason why people don't do these kinds of things, they're not thirsty. They're not thirsty. So when you're been born again, you're going to have a spiritual thirst, and it's going to make you want to do spiritual things. Well, the key to fullness of joy is fellowship. The key to fullness of joy is fellowship with the Lord. You can't have fellowship with the Lord and walk in darkness. You can't do it. Number two, you must walk in the light. Seek to mind Him. Have a thirst for spiritual things and spend time with Him. Key number three, and that's to go back to our text. I'm trying to do this in a reasonable amount of time. There's a lot of different ways you could have went with this. Key number three. Key number three. 1 John chapter 1. The third key to fellowship with the Lord and fullness of joy is you got to confess your sins. You got to confess your sins. It says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Have you ever met anybody that said they have no sin? That's really a unique experience. I don't sin no more. I reached a plateau where I never sin. Isn't that a sad thing? They're lying, ain't they? Bible says they're lying or not telling the truth. As a matter of fact, I think the closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll see how rotten you are and how you don't measure up. I think that's a sign of getting close. Kind of like a picture. Have you ever seen a painting? And there used to be a painter down home, and they'd have it over there, and you go to get up close to it, and they say, "Oh no, don't get up close to it." Why is that? You see all the lines and the brush marks. And when you stand off and look at the painting, oh, it looks pretty. I think that's how it is with regard to fellowship with the Lord. The closer you get to Him, the more you see in your life. And I think it's like that. We need to confess our sins. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to have a close walk with the Lord, you got to confess your sins to Him. Now, we're not on the pay-as-you-go plan. I'm turning the channels. I wasn't watching it. But John Hagee always says you got to say prayed up to get caught up. Isn't that a disaster? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When you trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, He paid for all your sins. He washed you completely. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And people will hear those things all the time. They was working down on our lights at the church, putting new lights up out on the parking lot. And there was a man from a church that was like that there. And one of our men said, "You know, I'd like to see Jesus come right now." And you know what that man said? He said, "I'd like to have 5 minutes first." I said, "Why would he want 5 minutes so he'd get all of his sins caught up?" Man, that ain't salvation. That's probation. And a person will never make it that way. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, He paid for all your iniquities. And He paid that account, and He paid it in full. Now, the reason why I say that is, after you're born again and after you've become His child, you still need to confess your sins, though. And the purpose of that is you got judicial forgiveness the day you trusted Christ as your Savior. But after you're born again, you need what I like to call parental forgiveness for the purpose of fellowship. I use this illustration. I think it uses Lily Valley or Little Soul. This will kind of show you what I'm talking about. Years back, I took the kids to the skating rink. And I took my little boy there, and he was just about that tall then. And they were selling some rings there. And silly rings was $1. He just had to have one. You know how much I had in my billfold, brother? I had $5. And I said, "All right." I said, I give him that $5. And he went over, and then I told him, "You buy that ring." And then you know what else I said? You bring back my change. I want the rest of that money because... You know, we tried to buy a pop every day at work, and they were $1. So I needed that other, I needed that other $4. Well, that little heathen, he went over there, he came back. I said, "Did you get your rings on?" He said, "Yeah, Dad," and had 5 rings on. Had one on every hand. I could have choked him. Oh, it made me so mad. I had to drink water all week. So I was mad. I said, you did just exactly what I told you not to." Oh, I was mad over it then. Was he still my son? Didn't feel like it at the time, but he was. He was. But you know, mine and his fellowship had been affected. I mean, I loved him just as much. And he was still my son, but I wasn't bouncing him off my lap at that time. I was aggravated. I had him by the arms, dragging him towards the car. See, it affected the what again? It affected the fellowship. Well, that didn't last long. And he come over eventually, you know, he knew his pop was mad. And he came over and said, "Dad, I'm sorry I bought them 4 other rings." And I said, "All right." I said, "I'm glad you said that." Then that what did that restore, though? Did that make him did that make him my son again? No, but it restored our fellowship. You need to confess your sins for fellowship. And that keeps you what? Close. People that drift into sin, they quit confessing their sins. That's what they do. I read about David before I come, and I said he went probably at least 9 months, close to a year, of being out of fellowship with the Lord. And then the Lord sent him the prophet. And the prophet told him the story of the sheep. You all know it. Told him that story. And then he looked at him and he said, "You're the man." And here's what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. He said, "I have sinned against the Lord." But it took how long to do that? Look in that amount of time what he drifted into doing by not confessing his sin. Well, the message tonight was entitled Fullness of Joy. And the key to that joy is a close fellowship with Jesus. And to have that, you can't walk in darkness. Can't do it. You got to walk in the light. And at the same time, you got to confess your sins. And what does that do? That keeps you close. The closer you are, the happier you'll be. The farther you drift away, the more unhappy you'll become. I don't know how it is with you tonight. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. If you're here tonight and not saved, you need to be. You never know when you're going to die. You never know when Jesus is going to come. You always got to be ready. Ready to go. I hope you are. If you've never trusted Jesus, I'd ask you to trust Him tonight. If He's spoken to your heart. If you've drifted, if you're not close to the Lord like you once was, if your fellowship isn't like it was before, He didn't move. You did. And you need to get that back. Say, "Master, I've drifted. I've not been spending time with you. I've not been talking to you like I did before. I've not been going to your house like I did before." And you confess it. And you can get your fellowship back. And guess what comes back when your fellowship is back? Fullness of joy. Brother.
We appreciate that message. We appreciate all the messages that we've heard this week. If I could ask Sister Connie to come, we'll have a closing hymn. If you have a need this evening, I invite you to come. I'd be more than happy to talk with you, pray with you, and anything that you may need. I know some other people that are more than happy to do the same thing. Let me get a song. I just about used a number out of her book. I don't think that'll work too well. It's hard to tell what I would have had us singing. Number 67 at Calvary.